This is COVID-19 Seattle. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Aaron Granillo. Before we get to an interview today with the police chief of Pullman, we want to do some housekeeping for you. We decided to make this podcast a weekly show rather than a daily one. Dave, can you tell us why we're deciding to do this? We had a little discussion yesterday,
yes, and we're
doing some changes now.
Well, as I think you've noticed, we spend a lot of time telling you to mask up and socially distance because that's what all the news seems to be.
Wait, whether, we have to mask up and socially distance?
It turns out, yes, because you see there's this virus and it's contagious. Anyway, so we cover, you know, various statements by various public officials, but I found myself coming to this bottom line. So what you're telling us is to use masks and make it more difficult for the virus to spread. And so we figure you've gotten that message. Also, the pandemic has become intensely political and sometimes a partisan issue. And we've dipped into this only briefly in the daily episodes, but we think it's worthwhile spending more time on these stories and with you to track what's true, what's relevant, and who you can trust.
We're still going to cover all the important decisions that are being made by public health doctors, the governor, about reopening or locking down our states. We'll also track and compile a lot of local stories and national stories throughout the week. So going forward, once again, you will hear from us once a week on Thursday mornings.
And just briefly, where I think the story is going now, of course, is the vaccine. There's more than one. They have undergone various degrees of testing. And I think what most of us want to know is, when should we get it? First of all, will it be available? And then, can we trust it? And so I think by focusing on that and by bringing you what the experts say, we can help you make that decision.
And I think also how the vaccine and the virus in general is going to shape the election coming up in November, too. So we're going to do a little bit of dipping into the political aspect of the virus, too.
I hope you're comfortable with that, Aaron.
I know you are. So I'm going to give it a whirl. We'll see what happens.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, now to an interview with the chief of police in Pullman, where they are being, I think it's fair to call them party poopers. Yes, Dave?
Yes, yes, because you're not supposed to party. And apparently, for some reason, college students like to party. Pullman has a problem. Students are coming back to WSU and they want to party and they're spreading COVID-19. And so it falls to the police chief of Pullman, Gary Jenkins, to try to control this. And so his department has been tracking down parties and issuing tickets. And Gary, tell me how many tickets you've issued so far.
We've issued 10 infractions to hosts of parties.
So what's the rule here? And under what authority are you allowed to actually issue tickets for this?
So we're actually using a local ordinance, which is called a nuisance party ordinance, and it's a civil infraction. And initially, the ordinance was created to address such things as allowing minors with alcohol and that type of activity at a private party. And so a host can be held civilly responsible for allowing those types of violations to occur. There's other language in that local ordinance that also addresses activity that's detrimental to the public health. And so we are using the theory that not wearing a mask and not social distancing and having gatherings of more than 10, all of these are in violation of the governor's proclamation and the State Department of Health orders, that these are all detrimental to public health.
So the ordinance itself doesn't specifically mention disease, but it sounds like you've interpreted it to apply to the COVID epidemic.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Have you gotten any pushback on that?
Well, we just did issue the 10 last week. We did have a warning and education approach up until last week. And as we were having students return back to Pullman for the academic year, we started to see the rise in parties, which correlated with the rise in positive cases. So we changed our approach last week to begin issuing infractions for this nuisance party ordinance. So we haven't had any go to court yet. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what's, yeah. So you're about to get a court test to see whether this actually holds up. So this is because of the students returning to WSU, huh?
That's correct.
Yeah. Did the university undertake any kind of educational effort to at least warn students that the rules have changed since last year?
Yes. We're working really closely with the university and we're pushing information out through the university, through the student union, through the fraternities and sororities, and also on social media, and then our media outlets, to let everyone know what all the rules are. And of course, I think everyone's getting bombarded with what the proclamation requirements are. So, you know, we're pretty confident that everybody knows what the rules are at this point. So we don't have any hesitation to take enforcement action now.
Has it become a political issue there?
You know, not so much in our community. I have gotten, or we've had posts on our social media. I've received emails and phone calls from people that are very passionate about not enforcing the proclamation requirements, which of course we're not specifically, but in an indirect way we are. And then we have other people that think we're not doing enough. So it's been polarizing.
Yeah. So how does that go down when one of your officers shows up at a party and says, I mean, because he or she is going to be vastly outnumbered, I assume, by the number of guests there. How does that play out?
So what's happened in some cases is as the officers approach, the people that have gathered decide they're going to flee in different directions and don't want to have contact with law enforcement.
So they all scatter?
They scatter, leaving the people that are the hosts, essentially, the people that live or have the rental property. And so it actually leaves us with the people that we're going to end up dealing with this, with our ordinance anyway. And sometimes that doesn't happen and people stand around. I think in most cases, everyone knows, you know, that what they are doing is wrong. I think sometimes there's been a few cases they've been surprised that we're actually taking enforcement action. But I don't think there's been anyone surprised that what we're enforcing is actually not allowed.
Well, I guess if everybody cuts and runs, then that makes your job a little easier because whoever's left was obviously the host and that's who gets the ticket, right?
Right. Yeah, it does thin out the herd a little bit for us.
Thins out the herd, yes. A little herd immunity there. Okay, so the ordinance then only empowers you to punish the hosts, or could the partygoers themselves also be subject to tickets?
What we're seeing happen now is hosts are collecting a cover charge to pay for the fines. Which are not that exorbitant. It's $250 for a first offense and $350 for a second offense. So what we're doing now, our city attorney is working on amending our ordinance that will allow us to also issue an infraction to the partygoers that are engaged in the activity that causes the violation.
Okay, so wait a second. So in other words, the hosts decided, okay, they're going to fine us, but that's just a cost of doing business. So we'll charge a cover charge to cover the fine.
Right. That's happened in some cases. In other cases, when the officers are there issuing the infraction, some of the guests will get on their phone and get on Venmo and make their donation back to the host.
Wow. As if your job wasn't hard enough already. So so is it working then? I mean, is it obviously the reason you're doing this is to try to prevent people from holding parties. So are people actually changing the behavior or just getting more clever about compensating for the fines?
Well, it's only been a week that we've actually been doing the enforcement. So it's really tough to say. I would say, though, we're definitely having less parties than normal. And part of that is just because of the situation we have. We don't have all of the students back in Pullman that are normally here because their classes are online, but we do have about 70% of them are in town. Mm-hmm. So our parties are down some. So I think there is a lot of compliance going on. So I don't know how much of that is just from the situation or from the efforts that we're making. I think it is making a little bit of an impact, and I think we'll be able to tell in the coming weeks really how much of an impact we're having on the actual COVID spread and the parties. We know through contact tracing that a lot of the positive cases amongst students are coming back, traced back to gatherings or parties of students.
Yeah, so this isn't an arbitrary thing you're doing. This is based on the fact that your information tells you that this apparently is one of the primary reasons that it's spreading in that area.
Right. I mean, our plan all along had been just to educate and warn. And, you know, during the summer, that was working fine. But then when we got hit with the explosion of cases that we've seen, we knew we had to take a different approach.
Yeah. So is there a way that you can hold any kind of social gathering that does comply with the law, or is that just simply impossible now?
So gatherings of 10 or fewer that practice either social distancing or wearing masks, those mm-hmm. are completely allowed.
Well, good luck. I'm sure that you're now considered Pullman's number one party pooper, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is we are getting a lot of support from our community. Our community is scared to go out in the community because they hear what's happening.
Yeah.
And so they feel that they're vulnerable. And actually, the student groups have asked for our help as well, because their groups are not necessarily listening to them. And mm-hmm. they've asked for our help in getting the word out and try to reduce this issue as well. So
good.
we are getting support in the community.
That's good to hear. Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins. Gary, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.